Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
This morning's reading is Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Jesus taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: I do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, from which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days he will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered him around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but for you to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who is taken from you into heaven, will be back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
We're a church in transition. We're church moving, church changing. From the moment we're born, change has been a reality of our lives. And last week, if you weren't here, I talked about change a little bit and how God wants to work in change. Let me encourage you to find our podcast on the website and listen into that, because that was the context for this morning. I want to present to you this morning the idea that some of us think we don't like change, but actually all of us do. We do like change. We change things continually to make us happy. We reorder our lives, we bring about change in our lives to bring a joy and a happiness and a life to ourselves. We actually embrace change all the time. Who eats exactly the same thing for dinner every night? Tim does. Thanks, Tim. Most of us change what we eat because we have a goal or motivation behind it, whether you're eating a particular diet or you just like that food and you choose the things that you like. Often, you know, you get up and you change your clothes because you want to wear something that you feel comfortable in. Maybe that's your high priority. Maybe it's you want to wear something nice and so you buy some nice new clothes. We change. All of us get haircuts, and most people don't get a haircut every week, so your hair is changing and there's change that happens. We embrace change all the time. It's just sometimes we hit change that's not change that we choose and it challenges us. But we actually like change. So what do we do in change in order to be able to move forward in a way that change doesn't toss us to and fro and move us off the path that God has for us? What do we do? How do we approach it? Well, we trust in the one who never changes, the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the one who is constant even when we're not, constant even when our world is not. We trust in the one who doesn't change. And so the way that we actually turn to him is prayer. And so this morning, as we look at us being a church in transition, we're going to look at prayer as one of the tools that God gives us for stability in times of transition. The passage that we read this morning, we see in it that Jesus has given some instructions to his disciples. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He spent some time following his resurrection with the disciples. He's now ascended, and he's given them this instruction as he was eating with them. We see in verse 4, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Their question is, well, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And isn't that the way that we are? Isn't that the way that we are? The Lord gives us a step and we go, well, what are the next five, Lord? Like, show me where it's going. Give me the whole plan. Don't just give me the next step. I want to know the whole plan. And so the disciples are just like us. They want to know when everything is going to be made right. And the Lord's command to them is no, just pray until you're filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. And when we look at change, you know, I would love to have a one-year plan, five-year plan, know everything, every step that was in it. That's the kind of pursuit of change that I feel most comfortable in. But that's not the place we're in as a church at the moment. We're in a season of waiting for the what next. And so in that season of waiting, we need to connect with the one who is constant. The disciples find themselves kind of looking around going, Jesus, you've ascended. What do we do? Who comes to them? Two men dressed in white. So this wasn't two guys that had a fresh wash on their garments. These were two angels that had come and stood beside them and said, "Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." I don't know, who hears that and goes, well, that's why I'm standing here looking in the sky. If he's going to be coming back in the same way that he's gone, I'm still looking. Maybe it's just me. But the disciples are encouraged by these angels to remember the command that Jesus has given them. And then they go and they pray. And so in verse 14, we find that they join together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. So they all gathered constantly in prayer. Now, is this an instruction for us? Has Jesus told us to gather and pray and wait till you're filled from on high? No. Is this an example to us of how to cope in a time of transition? Yeah, exactly. It is. It's a model of where to turn. Is it the only thing we need to be doing? Not at all, but it's a part of where we are calling to be. As a church, I feel like God is calling us into a season of renewal in prayer. We have spent a good season of fruitfulness, and as Rod's come to the conclusion of his ministry, it's a time of refreshment and renewal. As I mentioned last week, we've wound back a few things to create some capacity for us to do less, to do the less better, but also to invest in what is important. And so prayer is important. For us in this time of transition, prayer is important. So my question, are you on the train? See, for us as a church, if God's calling us to prayer, are you on board? Now, I don't know how you go with prayer, but prayer for me at times can feel really hard. Who finds prayer hard at times? So, who didn't put their hand up? I don't think everyone actually responded to that, because I'm pretty sure everyone that didn't respond isn't the prayer warriors here. But I think for all of us, prayer can be difficult. There's some people that find prayer really easily and spend hours and hours and hours of prayer. A lot of us, we find it difficult. One of the reasons I think we find prayer really difficult is there's two approaches, and the approach that we take to prayer is often a functional approach. I have a list of prayer points that I need to pray through. Prayer is something that I really need to do as a Christian, so I will commit to it. And so we have this very functional approach to this is how I need to approach God. This is what I've been told is an important part of my relationship with God, and therefore I do it. And so I can feel really guilty that I haven't ticked off my list of prayer points. And so in seasons of my life, I used to have these lists that I would go through, and I follow different people's models and try different things to see what would work. And what I found is that I would be really good at developing a list, really bad at following a list and day by day doing it, because it was not a way of praying that actually produced a lot of joy in me. Having said that, there's another approach to prayer, which I feel like is an approach to prayer that we can all embrace. And for some of you, that may produce lists. For some of you, that won't produce lists, but it will produce prayerfulness. You see, I feel like God's calling us to move from this functional relationship with Him to a functioning relationship where prayer is not about a function we can perform, but who we can connect with. You see, in Scripture, through the Old Testament, we hear God described as the one who is unapproachable, the one who dwells in thick darkness, the one who Isaiah falls before, exclaiming His holiness and says, "Woe to me, I am unholy, I cannot approach you." What we remember is that through what Jesus has done, His body broken, His blood shed, that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we can approach God with a confidence. And so prayer is about us approaching the unapproachable one and having that as a privilege. It's about who we are approaching. And so when I'm praying and it's about me performing a function because I feel like that's what God calls me to do, then I feel good if I perform that function. If I haven't, I feel guilty, I feel bad. And when you feel guilty or when you feel like you haven't measured up, you usually turn away from the things that cause you to feel guilty or not measure up. And so prayer becomes difficult. It becomes a rhythm that we don't really like. But when prayer is about us connecting with the who, when it's about us connecting with God and enjoying His company and embracing the times of refreshing that He wants to give us in His presence, then prayer becomes a delight that we actually want to move towards. Now, for some of you, prayer in your experience may have always been functional. Like you come and you pray and you list off these prayer points and you do it and you're diligent and you've never had an experience of prayer being a place of refreshing, but you've been committed to it. And that's good. Commitment's good and having good patterns are good, but it's actually, prayer needs to be about us encountering the who. Who are we praying to? Our Father in heaven. God's presented Himself to us as a Father because it's important. It's relational language. It's the kind of connection that He's wanting us to have with Him. Now, for some of you, you may have had this time of refreshment with the Lord but still find it hard. That is reality for us as well. You see, I'm a bit soft, and so when I get sick, my morning routine gets disrupted. So I have really good morning routines, and then I'll get sick, and then my morning routine will go out the window, and I'll have to reestablish it after my 1 week of man flu. I don't know about you, but that's just me. When I go on holidays, I change up my rhythm again, and so that can get disrupted. And so for all of us, there's times of needing to find a new rhythm that works. And this, for us as a church, I think is a time of us finding a rhythm of prayer that works for us, a rhythm of prayer that is sustainable and encouraging and life-giving. I think this is something that is open to all of us, but I think in some ways, in order to experience it as life-giving, we need to lift off some of the functional framework. You see, a framework of this is something I need to do to tick off is good starting place, but it's not a good end point. It's a good place to start because we need rhythms, we need to make commitments, we need disciplines. Why is that? Because it's part of the way that God has wired us. You see, if I don't have a discipline of regularly praying at a certain time, then what happens is every time I pray, I have to make a decision whether I'm going to pray or not. If it's not at a certain time, I'm still having to make a decision, do I pray or do I not pray? So a rhythm is really good because you know at that time you do this. At this time of the day, when I finish this, I always do this. When I get up, I always do this. After dinner, I always do this. Whatever works for you. There doesn't need to be a formula that fits everyone, but there needs to be a formula that fits you. Because it's no accident that we find prayer difficult. Because the enemy wouldn't want us to be praying, would he? And so if you don't have a rhythm, every time you have to make a decision to pray, the enemy is going to go, my time, and jump in. Oh, then the washing needs doing. The house is a bit of a mess. You need to clean out those emails. Oh, I just want to check the news. I wake up in the morning and sometimes check my phone for updates, and I can spend more time checking my phone and my email and my whatever else for updates than I spend in prayer because I haven't made a decision beforehand. And so we need these rhythms. The enemy doesn't want us as a people to gather for prayer. So 9:30 before the service, we would love you to come and join in prayer. It would be a great problem to have that we had so many people wanting to pray in there, we had to start moving it somewhere else. I would love that. On a Monday night corporate prayer, it would be great having so many people that we wanted to put together a full band. At the moment, we've got a one-person band leading us in worship with our corporate prayer. I would love to see that, but why is that? When we think about change and we go, oh, Randall's leading us through this time of change, why is Randall wanting us to do all this stuff? Like, why can't we just do what we were always doing? That seemed to work. And that's this little change resistor attitude going on. And it's also the enemy sort of sowing discontent into our minds. The only reason I want us to pray more is because I want us to be led by the Spirit of God. The only reason I want us to do things better as a church is because I want to reach more people for God. But prayer is the starting place for all of us to have the right heart for the ministry that we're called to. Prayer's the starting place. So if we're not spending time in prayer, if we're not disciplining, dedicating, making that time, we'll have a very functional, not just prayer relationship, but Christian relationship. It's interesting, I looked up some research on happiness and Christians and versus non-Christians, active Christians versus inactive Christians. It's interesting that those that are non-Christian are actually in better physical health than those that are Christian. I don't know, we could do better at that. But those who are Christian are actually 40% more likely to be happier in life. Those that are actively Christian, that is engaged with rhythms of prayer and worship and the life of God, are 40% more likely to be happy than a non-religious person. Do you know what's another interesting stat? Those people that are Christian but inactive are actually less likely than their non-religious counterparts to be happy. If you're Christian and you're inactive in the things that God has given you to be active in, you're less likely to be happy than your non-religious counterpart. Do with that what you want, but I feel like God is calling us to prayer, and that's a good thing for us. That is a renewing, life-giving thing for us. You see, it's in that place of prayer that we move from this functional mindset, because in prayer, what we receive is we receive God's heart. If I just come with my list, then there's no time for actually connecting with God and what's on his heart. But if I come with an aim of connecting with the who that is behind, that is not a functional relationship but a functioning relationship, if I come prioritizing the who, then what I'm going to receive in that time is his heart, his desire for me, his purposes for me. I'm going to be shaped by being around him, by spending time in his presence. And so I think the thing to lift off in order to enable that is the model of what prayer is going to look like. I heard this interesting story about a pastor that was part of a church, and he had a really fruitful ministry. He was the associate pastor and he worked under the senior pastor, and he was really fruitful. He didn't pray much though. And at the end of his time, before he was taking up a pastor at another church, he felt like God was saying to him, "In your last ministry, I blessed you because the senior pastor was praying for your ministry. You had that covering of prayer. In this ministry, unless you pray, I won't bless you." And so he heard that from God and he thought, "Oh, I better get on my bike and start praying." And so he bought every book on prayer, read every model he could possibly read, wrote up all of his notes, tried to figure out what is the best thing that I can do in order to pray well. And at the end of it, he was really struggling. He was trying his lists. He was trying to make things work, and he was getting up early in the morning. He was getting distracted, and he just wasn't enjoying it. There was no joy there whatsoever. But what he was finding is there was this fruit that was happening in his church. He was beginning to see people come to faith in Jesus and people really grow in faith, and he began to feel guilty because he wasn't ticking these things off the list, but he was seeing fruit. And he was like, what's going on, God? And as he was talking with God, he realized that he was actually spending time with God. Each morning, he'd get there early, he'd put on some of his favorite worship songs, and he'd really enjoy them. He'd really sing them. He wasn't ticking off a long list of prayer points, but he was enjoying his relationship with God, and from there, fruit was being produced. Now, he didn't stop there. He didn't stop at a place of just worship without praying for the things that were on God's heart. But in worship, he connected with God's heart so that the fruit of that was that he actually started praying for the ministries and the things that God put before him, talking to his father about how he was wanting to shape ministry. And so that's what we need to do. We need to put time aside. Not come in with a functional point of view, I need to achieve this in the time, but come in with a relational point of view that I need to connect with my Father in this time. Then I need to be refreshed, that I don't need to necessarily read through 5 chapters of John. I can actually read through 2 verses, reflect on them, pray through them, and be just as encouraged if that's what my Father is leading me to do. And as we come and we let God shape it, because I believe that God wants to shape all of your time with him, as we let God shape it, then he will shape us. And when he shapes us in this place of prayer, then he shapes us for this place of ministry. So as we as a church are shaped by our Father in prayer, we will be shaped in how we are relational with each other, how we're hospitable to each other, how we desire to serve each other, because what? We're captured by his heart, his love for us. The unapproachable one that has invited us in to know his refreshment, his love, his joy in his presence. Now, for many of you, this might feel like a foreign language, that prayer has never been that place. But how can you ever experience it if you don't create the space for it? And so what I want us to do now is I want us to have space. One of the ways we can learn is learning off other people. One of the ways we can learn is also just giving space to God to speak. So what I'm going to give you is 5 minutes. For some of you, this will feel like a really long time. For others, it will be really short. And in that 5 minutes, I just want you, in your own language, not churchy kind of language, to connect with your Father in heaven. To tell him what's on your heart, to ask him what's on his heart. I'll start with a little bit of prayer, give you 5 minutes worth of space, and then I'll finish with a little bit of prayer at the end, and let's see how we go with that. So Lord, often we can talk about things and not put them into practice. Thank you, Lord, that in this time and space we can have a time of practice, of connecting with you and enjoying who you are. We pray, Lord, that for each of us, Lord, that you peel back the curtains of our heart, Lord, and we, in this time, invite you to speak to us, Lord. We know that you're always there. Lord, that there's nowhere we can flee from your presence, Lord, but at times we struggle to acknowledge that you're there. So right here now, we acknowledge you're here with us. We thank you that you've demonstrated your desire to connect with us through sending your Son, Father. Thank you that you made a way for us to connect with you. Open our minds, the eyes of our hearts, our thinking, our way of being before you, to give us breakthrough in relationship with you. As we spend this time with you now, Lord, we ask for those times of refreshing that come when we turn our faces to yours. So Lord, in this time, pour out your Spirit with abundance. Speak to us, encourage us, connect us with you as we seek your face. In Jesus' name, amen. You've got 5 minutes. Don't watch your clock. I'll watch mine.
We're going to conclude our time of prayer, sharing together in saying the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. And so in a second, that's going to come up on the screen. Just like that, it came up on the screen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from a time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Isn't that a great prayer? That's a prayer that Jesus taught us to pray because he wanted to give us a model of prayer. We can read it through our functional eyes, can't we? Give us, save us, deliver us. But it actually, like, it needs to be read in the light of who he's praying to, his Father. And Jesus' delight for all of us is that we would have a relationship with the Father as he had. If you read through John 15 to 17, that's the heart of Jesus, that we would know him, the Father, in the way that Jesus knows the Father. And that's his heart for us, that we would know the Father in that way. All of us are on different stages, different steps in the journey, but we can be carried along by the momentum that we share together. But at times, you know what, that can be difficult. Who's been in a prayer group where they've heard someone pray a really long prayer and either fallen asleep or felt too much pressure to pray after that? You know, I've prayed those prayers. We can often get intimidated by other people and go, my prayer's not like that, or I can't pray as good as that. God doesn't want us to be intimidated. He wants us to come to him like little children, to pray and develop a language with him that is uniquely him and us, such that when I pray with you, I hear your relationship with the Father, which is different from mine, and I get something from that. You present a dynamic of the Father that I don't have, that I get to experience as I pray with you. And so instead of becoming, oh, I can't pray as good as that, it's, oh, wow, I love the way that that person is just connected to God. I want to bring some of that into my relationship with the Father. I don't have to be just like them, but I want to be influenced by them. And so instead of thinking in those times of prayer, oh, what am I going to pray? How am I going to pray? Oh, damn, they stole my prayer point. Instead of thinking those things, our desire is just to connect with the Father, and we're celebrating how other people are doing in that space. If you're a long prayer, pray slightly shorter. That helps other people to enjoy prayer more. Just because, you know, sometimes we get lost when others are praying long. That's okay. Sometimes pray long, figure out the circumstance that works well. But we can really encourage each other and grow together in this. Prayer is like dancing. How's prayer like dancing, Randall? Who's been to a dance, like a school dance, and stood on the edge and watched everyone else have fun? Everyone's done it. Everyone's done it. Some people haven't been bold enough to step on the floor. Some people haven't felt they're coordinated enough. You know what? Like, and sometimes it can feel like the girls are doing all the dancing and the guys are standing on the side. And that's kind of like prayer, because prayer is you got to step over the line. But the reality for us in prayer is we step over the line and ask the Father for time. He never rejects us. He always wants more from us. And as we dance with him in prayer, he leads us. We learn from him. We're shaped by him. And we begin to enjoy it. And so prayer's like dancing. And so I would like us to learn to pray. Learn to pray in such a way that our dance with God is infectious to those around us, is life-changing to us, such that we don't care if there's anyone else in the room because we're captured, we're raptured by the one that we're dancing with. But you've got to step onto the floor. And so my challenge for each of you over the next 21 days, they say it takes about 21 days to form a habit, find 5 minutes. Decide in your head now, where can you find 5 minutes consistently every day?
put a reminder in your phone. Otherwise, you'll forget it tomorrow. That's exactly what I do. Put a reminder in your phone so you do it. And then spend that time. Don't put a structure over that time. Give God unstructured time and let Him structure it and build that relationship between you and Him. God's calling us to a place where prayer is part of who we are. It's shaping who we are. It's the birthplace of who we become. Let's, in this time of transition, invest into this that we may be shaped by God from that place and foundation of connection with Him in prayer. Let me pray for us. Lord, thanks for this time of being encouraged to pray. Please break down the barriers that stop us from praying. Please quiet the voice of the enemy who seeks to distract us from praying. And help us, Lord, to just take those bold steps of learning to dance with You in prayer. And Lord, we look forward to how You produce a life in us. Not just us, Lord, but in us and around us and through us. And thank You that that's Your heart for us, Lord. Lord, we thank You that when we come to You, You never reject us, Lord, because of the great saving, sanctifying, setting free, cleansing work of Jesus. Continue to found our hearts in that place. Let it be a firm foundation, Lord. Let it be what gives us confidence to approach You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.